Dare to prepare. Fact, lower job preparedness is becoming the norm, and it's up to us to equip our current and incoming personnel at every level. Our customers are counting on it. We have talked about the subject of our technicians and the challenges we face in attracting, developing and retaining them. Now I want to touch on everyone other than management and supervision in the product support group. That covers the office support personnel in the service department, the parts office personnel, the warehousing group, the in-store selling group in parts, counter and telephone, as well as the product support sales team. So, we're talking about a lot of people. We've established that technical schools don't get the attention they deserve in a society that pushes for everyone to have a university education. I also pointed to universities' deficiencies in terms of preparing students for a work life. But let's drop down in the education chain to the high schools that feed the universities, technical schools, and much of business directly. First, some straightforward statistics from the Condition in College and Career 2013, this report can be found at WO.ACT.org, 25% of all 2012 ACT-tested high school graduates met all four ACT college readiness benchmarks, meaning that just one in four were academically ready for college coursework in all four subject areas. In 2013, 26% met the ACT college readiness benchmarks in all four subjects, so the 2012 results were not an abnormality. By the definition used by ACT, this means those who are ready for university will have a 75% chance of obtaining a C grade and 50% chance of receiving a B. That is quite a lot to digest, I suspect. The end result is that the new workers, coming from high school, technical schools or universities, are not a finished product. They require training and development, as we all did and do. But the level of capabilities leaves a lot to be desired, and it calls for some actions on our part. As time passes, we will be dealing with a lower level of job preparedness from the school systems. Businesses that adapt to this fact and develop programs and tools to assess and develop employee talent will succeed. Others will not. Flashback. I remember starting in the equipment business. I was hired on a one-year contract to fix a problem. I received one-on-one training one day each week from a senior partner in a national consulting firm for about 3 months. I know it is unusual, but I am intending to point out what my employer did to ready me for the work at hand. Within 3 months, I attended a one-week product training school at the manufacturer. Within 6 months, I had an additional 2 weeks with two senior managers with the manufacturer, who were subject matter experts. I took night classes at university to fill gaps in my knowledge for the work involved and followed several self-study programs. I was very fortunate to have had an enlightened employer, and this continued throughout my time with them. I am very grateful to this day. How do you rate on training and developing your personnel for their work? Do you have a specific skill set definition for each job function? Do you have a learning program for each employee? Do you have regular and scheduled discussions with each employee on the level of competence that they have with their jobs? Do you prepare each employee for the next step in his/her career? Does each employee have a career path? Do you have an education reimbursement program? Peter Drucker, one of the world's foremost thinkers on business and management, posited that one of the strongest business opportunity and growth areas in the 21st century was going to be adult re-education. I don't think he contemplated that there would be a business opportunity to supplement the public high school education system, as seems now to be necessary. But he clearly suggested that business was going to have to get involved with the education systems to get the skills and knowledge they need from educational institutions. Back to basics. So, what do our employees have to know? Obvious things come to mind. It sounds elementary, but they must be able to read. 20 years ago, when setting up a technical training system with the community colleges in California, we had to add a remedial reading program because the candidates were not able to read and comprehend the front page of a newspaper after graduating from high school. The same was true for basic arithmetic functions. Can all of your employees read and perform basic mathematics? I am sure you think the answer is yes, and I truly hope that this is true. Think back to the story of Dexter Manley, professional football player for the Washington Redskins, who after graduating from college, was not able to read. We need to have a starting point, a list of basic skills that everyone has in the company. Just imagine how demotivating and discouraging it would be if you didn't understand the work at hand and were afraid to say so. Then, we need to develop skills to improve the productivity of each employee. This is a combination of training programs, mentorships, individual responsibility and initiative, and self-study programs. In the service department, we should have a set of mechanical skills for each technician, as well as the degree of difficulty and skills required for each job. With service, it is a little more straightforward in that the manufacturers provide a roadmap of training required. They make the job convenient and easy for the dealer to be able to have each employee trained and able to perform their jobs as required. We don't have anything similar for the office functions, or in-store selling, warehousing functions, or outside sales positions. There are companies serving the industry, such as Caliper and Persona Analysis, that have offered testing and interviewing services for years to determine how well an individual fits the requirements for the job. They are able to point out shortfalls in the skills to help dealers make good hiring decisions. This service should be used for the incumbents on the job, as well as new hires. We need to keep growing our skills and abilities in order to continue contributing to the growth and effectiveness of the business to satisfy customers. Don't forget, there are also specific skills required by our manufacturers, such as warranty filings and protocols. Also, there are specific trainable skills on the use of manufacturer-supplied software and systems, purchasing, emergency orders, returns, electronic catalogs and the like. There is a lot to consider. Who is charged with the responsibility for developing and maintaining this material in your company? Human resources is an important function in the dealership, handling job descriptions, performance standards, job prerequisites, performance reviews, personality profiles and the like, all required in the world in which we work today. There is also a level of government reporting and compliance issues to which we must pay attention. Room for improvement. Let's consider some specific areas in the dealership where training can improve processes and overall outcomes for employees and customers. In the warehouse, we need to have knowledge of warehousing systems, picking and packing and shipping tools in order to operate effectively. In the early 1970s, the dealership that I was working at operated at a rate of about 15 part numbers picked per employee per hour. With different facility layouts and systems, we were able to take that rate to over 90 part numbers picked per employee per hour. That is a very significant increase in productivity that was achieved from training, as well as system requirements developed by knowledgeable people. Do your warehouse employees know how to place parts? It is not just a case of looking for an empty location. What are the safety rules for locating parts according to the height off the ground and the weight? Who is responsible for monitoring compliance? These are important things to know and comply with. Safety is a critical element in any job. In the parts office, how about expediting methods, inventory control rules, when to stock and deduct from stock and the dramatic impact this has on inventory levels? With the current technology and lead times now normally at 1 week, inventory turnover should be well in excess of 12 times a year. Where do you stand? Translating that into time, with a lead time of 7 days and a turnover of 12, you would have 24 days of safety stock. That should be sufficient, don't you think? Do your parts personnel have the skills and knowledge to be able to implement this type of concept? Have they had specific training on inventory control? What about the work environment? What is the lighting like? What are the foot candle readings at the workstation? What is the lighting like in the warehouse? Errors and fatigue are directly impacted by the work environment. Look at the advances in LED lighting, which not only provides good work light but extends the life of the product and reduces electrical needs dramatically. On the counter and on the telephone, there are critical skills that are required. Along with understanding all the systems for your business and your manufacturer, these folks have to have selling skills, product knowledge, and competitive knowledge. How often do you offer selling skills training to the in-store personnel? Have you ever offered sales training? Then there is product knowledge. This means features and benefits, works and wares of the products you sell. How often do you have training sessions for all of the parts employees? I normally recommend 8 90-minute sessions every year for all parts employees, with a breakdown of 1/2 hour on product, 1/2 hour on process, and 1/2 hour on whatever is important at the time. Often, I have employees themselves put on the product training. There is something very special about the preparation done by an employee when they know they will be presenting to their peers. They want to get it right. Then we come to the product support sales team. They need all of the above training, as well as specific salesmanship training. And they need negotiating skills. Opportunity is the meeting point of preparation and perspiration. But it's no sweat when people have the skills, knowledge, tools and training. Training is not a one-off event. It is ongoing. But the responsibility is shared, learning and knowledge are matters of personal responsibility. Good training and continual learning create walking assets. There's so much to be said for reading. In our training classes, I always ask for a show of hands about individuals reading business books. The number who have never read a business book, something that will help them professionally, is astounding. Too many people think that when they leave school their learning stops. But that's when real learning should begin. Experts agree, there is a direct correlation between employee satisfaction and customer satisfaction. Employee satisfaction comes from knowing what to do and having the tools and the systems available to do it. It couldn't be clearer. And companies that get that will be the winners. The time is now.